Into the 13th chapter of Genesis. Bless you, Sister Flo. Appreciate that. Genesis chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Genesis 13:1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And I want to stop my reading there with those 13 verses. The first 13 verses from Genesis chapter 13. And, you know, honestly, if I were wanting to gain favor of men today, or if I wanted to gain popularity, I guess I'd have to ask God to give me a different message. Because I think that probably you're not going to like this one very much. But I'm here today to serve the Lord. And God burdened my heart with a message, and that's what I'm going to try to do today, is to serve Him and honor Him. The reason that I said what I did, the reason that I don't think we're going to like it a great deal, is because I believe that we are far too attracted to the temporal things of this world. I believe that we have become far more attracted to them than what the Lord ever wanted His church to be. And there are some things I want you to notice in this, but the title of my message today will be Moving In With Sin. And I don't know, many of you probably recently read Brother Wheat's article that he wrote, Getting Used to the Dark. And that's just pretty much what we've done, isn't it? We've gotten used to things that we should abhor. we have accepted things. In fact, there are things that we seem to just accept in our lives that, you know, to be honest with you, they ought to be a great stench to the nostrils of the people of God. We are taught in the Scriptures to abhor evil, to despise it. But I'm afraid that oftentimes we don't. And we have, I believe, great examples in the Scriptures of times, sometimes individually, sometimes collectively, when the people of God did not despise sin the way that they should. But you know what? We also have examples, great examples of the fact that it led to their detriment and not to their advantage. I'm going to tell you, and you may have some different views today of Lot and his dwelling place that he chose, but I'm just going to tell you to begin with that I believe Lot made a bad choice when he looked towards Sodom and decided that that was going to be where he would dwell. And there are some things that it ways that it had an adverse effect upon him and upon his family. And we are going to look at some of those things. But first, I want you to think about Sodom for a moment. And I realize today in this message, I want to preface this by saying that I realize today that in this world that we are always around sin, and we're always around sinners. And it's going to be that way until the Lord finally destroys this world. Sin is present in this world. It has been present in this world. It has been present among men ever since Adam disobeyed God's law. Sin is here. And we are never, as the people of God, we are never going to be able here on this earth to be in any type of environment where there is no sin. Thank God one day we're going to a land that has no sin. That sin won't be allowed there. It won't be welcome there, but we're not going to find that here on the earth. But that doesn't mean that we've got to move in with it, and that doesn't mean that we've got to fellowship it, and that doesn't mean that we've got to get used to it. But it is here. Sodom, the men there, and I believe that what the Scriptures tell us here, that it wasn't just the fact that there were sinners in Sodom, because there are sinners everywhere. In every city on the earth, there are sinners. But the Bible tells us that the men of Sodom there, that they were sinners exceedingly. I mean, they were really openly practicing sin. And they were practicing, what the Scriptures teach us is great abomination in the sight of the Lord. They were practicing homosexuality, something that God just despises. And they were doing these things, as I said, very openly. They were practicing sin. There were great acts of sin that were taking place in this city known as Sodom. And you can go on into the 14th chapter and you can read about how when the king of Edom, Chedorlaomer, if I'm pronouncing that right, how that he had come and he had taken Sodom, the city of Sodom, and he had carried away their belongings, he had carried away their victuals and the things that they owned, and he carried Abraham's nephew Lot away and took him captive as well. And Abraham formed an army from among his men, and he went and he got Lot back, and he brought back the things that they had taken from Sodom. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram, and he offered to allow Abram to keep the material possessions, but just return the men to him. And from what I see about the city of Sodom, what happened to them there when they were taken captive, and how that Abram, the man of God, went out there and brought back their possessions and brought back their people and overtook the king that had done this evil to them. When this man of God had done this, it didn't seem to humble the city of Sodom at all. You know, the best gesture that the king of Sodom made was he told Abraham, "Well, for what you did, you can just keep the spoils." And you know what Abraham said? He said, "I don't want anything to do with it. I won't take it. I won't accept it, because I am not about to have you saying that you made me rich." And he refused those things. But it didn't seem to humble them whatsoever, because we go on, and continue to read up through the 19th chapter of Genesis, how that God eventually just looked down upon the great wickedness of the city of Sodom and sent fire and brimstone down from heaven and destroyed them. Now, I want us to also think about Lot for a moment. Lot was a righteous man. The Bible tells us that he was a righteous man. But you know, the problem oftentimes with righteous people is that they have the tendency to make unrighteous choices and unrighteous decisions. And folks, I'm going to tell you, in every situation in our lives, when we choose sin over righteousness, we're going to get in trouble. When we choose sin over righteousness, it's going to have an adverse effect upon our lives. It's going to have an effect upon us. It's going to have an effect upon our children. And in fact, we read in the 20th chapter of Exodus that even our sins can even have an effect upon our children and their children unto the third and the fourth generation. And I don't believe that God is telling us that he will punish your great-great-grandchild for the sins that you commit, but I do believe that our sins and the things that we do in that are disobedient to God can affect our posterity for generations to come, and in a lot of ways it has. It has. Lot's family, and I want you to think about this, his family became a mess from the influence of Sodom. I can't imagine what his daughters did after they had left there, and we may get into some of that later. Lot didn't have much influence over them either, and that's proven to us as well. But he looked at the well-watered plains of that area, and that's what attracted him. And I want you to notice something in this, that the Bible does not tell us that when there was a strife between Abram and between Lot, and Abram decided that the best thing that they could do would be to separate from one another, because they were too congested and it was causing problems between them. And so, Abraham essentially says to Lot, "Look around us, we've got plenty of room. We've got plenty of room." And so when they decided that the best thing to do would be for them to separate their herdmen and their livestock from each other, I want you to notice what I believe is a very key point in this. The Bible does not say that God sent Lot toward Sodom. That was Lot's choice. That was his choice. He chose that. And folks, listen. We have got to stand up and take personal responsibility for the choices that we make. We can't blame it on somebody else. When we make a choice in our life, we are responsible for that. And we don't need to hide, and try to lay it off on somebody else and say, well, I did that because, you know, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or because the devil. No, we are responsible to God for our lives. If we weren't, the Bible would have never said that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and that we must give an account of the things that we do in the body, whether they are good or bad. And folks, listen, I'll tell you what I'm expecting to do. I'm expecting to stand before my Creator one of these days. I'm expecting to stand before Almighty God one of these days. It may not be a pleasant thought, but I'm expecting that I will stand before Him one day, and there I will give an account unto God for myself, not for you. But you'll give one for your own self. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's people in the world today, they are just doing whatever they want to do. They're spending their time, they're passing the time of their sojourn here on the earth, however they want to do it, however they want to live. If it feels good, they'll just do it. And they do these things thinking that it's nobody else's business and they're not accountable to anybody else. Well, let me tell you, folks, listen, there may be people that will do things and they may never have to answer to man, but they're going to answer to God for everything that they do, even for every idle word that men speak. We'll give an account in the day of judgment. God's judgment won't be like the judgment of men. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's things that slip through the cracks in our judicial system, and they have for years. You know, people found guilty that weren't, and people set free that were, but it won't be that way in God's judgment. God's judgment will be exactly according to righteousness, and God has an accurate record of all of our lives. And we'll give an account to God. Lot chose. Listen to this. Folks, if you don't get anything else out of what I say today, listen to this. God, or Lot chose Sodom because of the attraction of the way that it looked to him. It was a beautiful place. I mean, this man had livestock, and it was well watered. It was sufficient to sustain him. And listen, folks, I'll tell you, when the devil dangles sin out in front of you, he will always make it look attractive. He will do the very best he can to make it look pretty and to make it look like something that would satisfy the flesh. The only thing that Lot was concerned with, I believe, was taking care of his possessions, having a place that would sustain his livestock, and he chose Sodom. Now, it's obvious to me that Lot was well aware of the surroundings of the place that he had chosen to live. He knew what was going on in Sodom, didn't he? He knew what was going on there. I told you that it affected him. And it did. Many, many years later, many years after Lot had lived and died, the Apostle Peter wrote this concerning Lot in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. The Apostle Peter, speaking about Lot, he said, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Listen, don't ever get the idea that you can dabble in sin, Christian friend, and it not have an effect upon you. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, we find that the Apostle Paul wrote and said, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." And don't ever think that we can do these things and that we can dabble in these things. And don't ever think that you can move in with sin and it not affect your righteous soul. It did have an adverse effect upon Lot.
and it had, Paul said, it will have an adverse effect upon us. It will corrupt good manners. I don't know if you all remember this or not, and I may not get it exactly right, but I can essentially tell you what was said. You may remember a couple of years back, we were here in Sunday school, and Brother Dallas Wheat was teaching, and he made a statement. He said, if you don't want to run into Satan, don't hang out in his neighborhood. That's about right, isn't it? So Lot, was greatly affected by what happened there. There was another big problem. A huge problem that Lot had by, choosing to dwell there in Sodom. He wasn't around any other righteous people. And folks, that's a big problem for the saints of God. I mean, we need one another. We need each other's strength. When we worship, when we mind the Lord, when we obey His commandment to assemble ourselves together and not to forsake that. Yes, we come here first and foremost to honor God and to worship God and to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, listen, we gain strength from this. There's strength in numbers, and there's strength in being together, and there's strength in being in a place where you can be fed by the truth of the Word of God, and don't ever sacrifice those things for the comforts of this world. I'll tell you what, I'd rather live in a city where there was a good old missionary Baptist church where I could hear the truth. I'd rather live there and be a pauper than to go to some city where I could have the best job in the world and not be exposed to those things. I sure would. I've seen missionary Baptist people pick up and move and go to a place where they didn't have a church at all just to get a better job. Now, you can decide what you want to about that. I think it's a bad choice. I believe it's a bad choice. Lot didn't have anybody there really to fellowship. He was surrounded there by men that were exceedingly sinful. Well, in the 19th chapter of Genesis, there were two angels that came to Sodom. And Lot was out there at the gate of the city. And when they came, he went and he bowed and he worship them and recognize them as angels. And he said, I want you to come to my house. You know what I believe when I read everything that happened there? You know what I believe Lot was doing? I believe he went out there and he met those angels and he said, let's get to my house as quickly as we can. I believe he pressed upon them, let's get out of here and let's come. I want you to come to my house. Lot knew exactly what was going on in Sodom. He knew exactly what he was surrounded with, because when those angels answered him and said, no, we're just going to dwell in the street all night, Lot pressed up on them, no, come into my house. I think he knew exactly what went on at night there in the streets of Sodom. And so he convinced them to come into his house. And here came these wicked men there to the door of his house. And they even wanted Lot to give the angels to him that they may know them. And folks, listen, they were making sexual implications. Don't make any mistake about it. That's exactly what they wanted. Pitiful. I mean sinful. I mean great acts of sin taking place. And here dwelt that righteous man right there. And it vexed his soul from day to day. You know what? You can go someplace, and I don't know why in the world that any child of God would choose wickedness, to be honest with you. I don't know why that, when we, even when it comes to, us Choosing a place to live, I don't think that any of us sit back and say, well, I want to make sure that I find me a neighborhood that's just filled with prostitution and that's filled with homosexuality and that's filled with murder. Certainly, we don't look for those types of things. And I'll tell you what, I don't understand why that we would even want to visit and vacation places that we know they are known for their sin. But oftentimes, we do those things, and you know what the excuse is? It's the same thing that it was with Lot. It looked pretty. It looks pretty there. There's pretty things to look at, and there's pretty things to view. Never mind the fact that we're well aware of all the grotesque sin that's going on there. Well, we're just going to go there, and we're going to go because it looks pretty. That's what attracted Lot, wasn't it? The well-watered plains of the Jordan Valley, there's what attracted him. Well, I'm telling you, I mean, he put himself in a horrible set of circumstances. If you could imagine this as a father, those men coming to his door and him, you know, urging them to come inside, and when they did, these wicked men, homosexual men coming around there and saying, let us have these men. And Lot says, no, you know, they don't do this. They are come to be guests in my house. I've got two daughters that have never known man, and how about I give them to you? What a horrible thing for a father to do. That's pitiful, isn't it? And, you know, you can make of that what you will. I'm not so sure that that wasn't just a lie anyway. I mean, those two daughters that he told those men had never known man, they were married, the best I can tell. They were not single women. I mean, you know, the Bible goes on in that same chapter and tells us about Lot's sons-in-law that had married his daughters. So, I mean, you can make of that what you will, but I know this, that he offered his daughters to those wicked men. I mean, he put himself in a situation that, God forbid, anybody, any child of God should ever, or anybody as far as that goes, should ever subject themselves to. I'm telling you, folks, listen, we cannot move in with sin and expect it not to put us in horrible circumstances and expect it not to have an effect upon our soul. Are we going to lose our salvation? No. No, we won't lose our salvation. But I'll tell you what, we can sure lose a lot, though, can't we? We can lose what David lost. I'll tell you what you can do. You can dabble with sin. I've told you this before. When David saw Bathsheba bathing there in her nakedness and looked upon her in that, what a great deal of trouble and sorrow that he would have saved himself if he would have walked away and said, I never should have looked at her in the first place. If he would have done as a man of God, if he should have done what he should have done, then he would have never continued on in his pursuit of sin. He would never have had her husband killed. He would never have found himself in the position that he did. There, what we find recorded in the 51st Psalm, when he came before the Lord, just begging God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Once that God saves us and his Holy Spirit dwells in our heart, can we lose it? No. But I'll tell you what, we can lose the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I believe that's what David was so afraid that he would lose because of what he had done. Be not deceived, folks. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived, church. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I want to share some verses with you. I want you to listen to me today. I felt a burden in this to try to reach out today for a moment to our young Christians here, our young church members here today, because I know that there's going to be a lot of things that you'll be tempted with. There'll be a lot of things in your school that you'll be tempted with. Will you listen to me here for a moment, please? I beg you, please listen to the Word of God for a moment. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. You remember this. You remember this when you're someplace in some situation and somebody's tempting you to do something that's sinful and is not right. You listen to this. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. It was spoken by a wise man long ago. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go for it. Amen. Don't go for it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Paul writing to a young preacher, he said, flee also youthful lust. Folks, listen, there are youthful lusts. There's lust and there are youthful lusts. And there's things in your youth that you're going to be tempted with. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And listen, church, make no mistake about this. This is exactly what God expects of us. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That ought to give us a good idea of how detestable it is, shouldn't it? It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And I want to give you this last verse. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Are you and I going to live perfect lives while we're here? No. But I believe we can do a whole lot better than what we're doing. And I believe that we can shake some of these worldly influences that have overtaken us. I'll tell you what we need to do because of it. We need to repent. Those amens weren't too loud, were they? We need to repent, folks. Do you think that God calls upon his people to repent? Do you think that the only time that it was ever necessary for us to repent was when we were repenting to be saved? Certainly not. Repentance is required for the children of God as well, because we still have the nature of Adam and we still sin and we still do things that we shouldn't do. And folks, listen, when we do it, when God convicts us of that, we ought to repent before God in sackcloth and ashes, and we ought to get rid of those things. But I'll guarantee you, in our missionary Baptist churches here today and in other churches, the pastor can get up and he can preach about that, and he can call that church to repentance and say, we need to repent before God for the sins in our lives. And you won't see the Christian people fill the altars. We may say we believe it, but we don't practice it, do we? I'm just telling you the truth, folks. I'm just telling you the truth. We have got sin and worldliness in our lives that we need to get rid of. We need to get rid of. We need to repent of it before God, and we need to do what David asked God to do in the 139th Psalm. Search me, God. Search me. Oh God, search me. Search my heart. Are you brave enough today? Or maybe not brave, that may not even be the right word. Do you desire God's presence in your life enough today to really ask God to search your heart? God, will you look down from heaven today and search me and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting? I'll tell you what, if you really want to see how you look, God will show you. He'll show you. So, you know, we don't need to look toward Sodom. Now, I'm not telling you today, and I don't want this to be misunderstood, I'm not telling you today that we don't need to reach out to sinners. We do. We need to reach out to sinners in love and with the message of the gospel and reach as many as we can, but we don't need to move in with sin. Let me tell you something. When you're at school, when you're at work, when you're at home, wherever that you're at, whatever situation that you're in, when there's something that begins to tempt you, when there's something that begins to stir evil desire within you, you better do what Paul said, and you better run away from it. You better flee that lust. You better run from it. When you see it pop its head up over the horizon, you better take off and flee whatever that it is, because it will have an effect upon your life if you let it in. I guarantee you. When sin comes knocking at the door, folks, if you just swing wide the door and say, come on in, it will have an effect on your life. I'll tell you what. I think that if we're all honest today, I mean, if you're really willing to be honest with yourself, I think we'll all admit it, that right in the houses that God has blessed his children to have, to dwell in, that there's this thing that it's square. Sometimes it's 27 inches, sometimes it's 32 inches. People pick up a little box and they flip it on and they invite sin right into their living room. Sure enough. If you don't think that's true, just honestly take a look at it. I believe that you'll find that it is. You know, far too often, we're just like Lot. We just, by choice, we expose ourselves to things that we never should. And we need to admit it, and we need to repent, and we need to make it right with God. I'd like for us to have a song. I do want to say this. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you do need to repent of your sins. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You need to repent before God, and you need to trust him for salvation. And we, as God's people, we need to get rid of the things that don't belong in our lives either. So let's stand and sing today.